This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month: first evidence of a solid exoplanet, discovery of water on the moon, and first results from a panoramic survey of the Andromeda Galaxy. Using various techniques, astronomers have, over the last decade, discovered many hundreds of planets outside our own solar system. Most of these techniques are indirect, because planets are much fainter than the stars they orbit, and so are very hard to detect directly. Because their effects are easier to spot, larger planets are easier to find, but smaller and smaller planets are being discovered as techniques and technology improve. One of the smallest exoplanets known to date is Corot 7b, a planet discovered by the Corot satellite in February 2009, orbiting an otherwise unremarkable 11th magnitude star, catalogued as TYC4799-1733-1, located almost 500 light-years away in the constellation of Monoceros. Most of the known exoplanets are thought to be larger versions of Jupiter, likely to be large gas giants, but new observations of Corot 7b suggest that it is far more like our own Earth. A team of astronomers led by Didier Queloz at the Geneva Observatory in Switzerland used the HARPS instrument on ESO's 3.6-metre telescope at La Silla Observatory in Chile to observe the Corot 7 system and try to determine the mass of Corot 7b. HARPS, or the High Accuracy Radial Velocity Planet Searcher, is a high-resolution spectrograph which enables astronomers to measure the tiny changes in velocity of a star as it is gently tugged by the gravitational pull of its orbiting planets. These velocity shifts are extremely small, so very accurate spectrographs are needed to see the effects. In the case of Corot 7b, the planet is so close to its parent star that it completes one orbit every 20.4 hours, blocking out a tiny fraction of the star's light for just 1 hour during each orbit. Because the planet is so small, the team had to obtain more than 70 hours of observations to see the tiny changes in the star's spectrum that would tell them about the planet. What the team found was that Corot 7b is one of the lightest exoplanets known, with a mass of just 4.8 times that of the Earth, putting it in the category of so-called super-Earths. Since the planet directly transits the star, passing directly between the star and us, astronomers have already been able to determine that the planet's radius is less than twice that of Earth. If you know both the mass and the radius of a planet, you can calculate its density. The team did this and found that Corot 7b has a density of 5.5 grams per cubic centimetre, very similar to the density of the Earth. This suggests that Corot 7b is a rocky planet, not a gas giant like Jupiter, and is likely to be composed mainly of silicates, with a small iron core, the first time such a determination has been made for such a small exoplanet. As well as determining the mass and density of Corot 7b, the team also discovered a new planet, Corot 7c, which is slightly larger, with a mass of 8.4 times that of Earth. Unfortunately, this planet does not directly transit the star, so its radius and hence density cannot be determined. The research will be published in the journal Astronomy and Astrophysics on October the 22nd. It is thought that the Moon was formed about 4.5 billion years ago by the collision of a Mars-sized object with the Earth. The heat from the impact and subsequent accretion of material created a magma ocean which would have caused the loss of most of the volatile materials from the surface, so called because they have very low boiling points and evaporate easily. In a press conference at NASA on Thursday the 24th of September, results were announced from three separate spacecraft showing evidence of water on the lunar surface in far greater quantities than has previously been seen. Two of these spacecraft, Cassini and Deep Impact, observed the Moon as they passed by on the way to other parts of the solar system, while the third, India Space Research Organisation's Chandrayaan-1, observed the lunar surface from orbit around the Moon. What each of these probes detected was an absorption feature in the infrared part of the spectrum at a wavelength of about 3 microns, a wavelength characteristic of absorption by hydroxyl, a hydrogen atom joined together with an oxygen atom. Add another hydrogen to hydroxyl and you produce H2O, water, which also absorbs infrared light near 3 microns. It has been known since the observations of the Lunar Prospector spacecraft in the late 1990s that there is an estimated 10 to 300 million metric tons of water ice buried in permanently shadowed craters at the lunar poles. These new results, however, show that the hydroxyl and water signature is in fact present over large parts of the lunar surface, not just at the poles. Launched on October the 22nd, 2008, India's Chandrayaan-1 carried several scientific instruments on board, One of these was the Moon Mineralogy Mapper, or M3, built by NASA, a spectrograph operating in the infrared part of the spectrum. Although Chandrayaan-1 sadly ceased operations last month, it had already returned many months of usable data from the instruments on board. When the data from the M3 experiment was analysed, researchers found absorption features consistent with patterns expected for water and hydroxyl over most of the lunar surface. Although M3 only probed the top few millimetres of the lunar regolith, they found a strong hydroxyl signature across the surface, stronger toward the lunar poles at higher latitudes, and varying throughout the lunar cycle, suggesting that the sun has some effect on the distribution. According to the scientists, the most likely origin for this water is a reaction between the protons in the solar wind and oxygen atoms already present in the lunar dirt. The M3 results were subsequently confirmed by observations by the Deep Impact spacecraft, which also has instruments that observe in the infrared and regularly uses observations of the Moon for calibration purposes, and also in old data from the Cassini spacecraft, which observed the Moon during a flyby in 1999. The data show that there may be as much as 0.1 to 1% water by weight in the regolith, in contrast to the rocks brought back by the Apollo missions, which were incredibly dry. This is roughly equivalent to a litre of water per cubic metre of regolith, but, since it is only present in the top few millimetres of soil, extracting usable amounts of water would require processing a very large surface area. The results from the three spacecraft were announced together to coincide with the publication of three papers in the journal Science on September the 24th, and come just 2 weeks before another spacecraft, NASA's LCROSS, the Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite, is due to crash into the Moon's surface near the South Pole in an attempt to kick up water ice buried in the regolith in craters which rarely see sunlight. Edwin Hubble's original classification of galaxies into various types based on their visible shapes and structures has been a feature of extragalactic astronomy since the 1920s. The scheme, originally thought to depict an evolutionary sequence, has two major groups: spiral galaxies with a small central bulge, spiral arms and possibly a central bar, and elliptical galaxies that are more spherical in structure, with no spiral arms or disk. There are, however, many galaxies which do not fit into this scheme, being neither spherical or disk-like, and these are usually lumped together into a class called the irregulars. These disturbed galaxies are surprisingly common, and many are the result of collisions or close encounters between galaxies. Such interactions happen frequently throughout the history of the universe, but it is also going on right now in our own galactic neighbourhood. The nearest major galaxy to our own is the Andromeda Galaxy, otherwise known as M31, slightly larger than the Milky Way, and located 2.5 million light-years away. It is heading towards the Milky Way at some 300 kilometres per second, and in a few billion years, the two galaxies will eventually collide. In some cosmological models, galaxies grow over time by disrupting and absorbing smaller galaxies in such collisions. In such violent processes, a significant number of stars should be tossed out of the galaxies involved, forming a diffuse halo which can provide clues to the merger history of a galaxy, if they are bright enough to be detected. In research reported in the journal Nature on the 3rd of September, a team of astronomers led by Alan McConaughey at the Hertzberg Institute of Astrophysics in Canada reported a panoramic survey of Andromeda and its nearby neighbour, the Triangulum Galaxy, or M33, which shows clear evidence of the remnants of galactic mergers. Detecting this evidence is difficult, as these stellar populations are extremely faint and distributed over a huge area, so the astronomers are using the MegaCam camera on the 3.6-metre Canadia-France-Hawaii telescope to build up a sensitive wide-field survey of the Andromeda Galaxy and its companions. The so-called Pan-Andromeda Archaeological Survey will cover more than 300 square degrees when completed in 2011, but has already produced results showing the vast extent of M31's stellar halo, covering an area of nearly 100 times the classical optical disk of the galaxy. These early results from the survey lend support to the idea that large galaxies build up through the accretion of smaller galaxies. The halo stars discovered away from the disk of M31 are unlikely to have been formed at their present positions, because there is not enough gas there for star formation to occur. The most likely explanation is that they've been thrown out in a tidal interaction. Another piece of evidence that they are relics from previous galactic mergers is that the stars in this faint population are often located in huge arcs, loops, and other diffuse structures, which are characteristic of the gravitational disruption of dwarf galaxies undergoing a merger with a larger galaxy. As well as lending support to the hierarchical model of galaxy formation, The team's results also show a new diffuse stellar structure around M33, M31's largest companion galaxy. This newly discovered feature matches up with the distortion in the disk of M33, as well as a mild warp seen in the outer disk of M31, adding to the evidence of a past tidal interaction between the two galaxies. And finally, launched on the 14th of May this year, the Planck spacecraft released the results of its first light survey during September. Since its launch, along with the Herschel telescope, Planck has been undergoing testing, commissioning and calibration of its instruments, making its first observations on the 13th of August. Designed to detect the cosmic microwave background, the relic radiation left over from the Big Bang, Planck has several survey instruments on board. In order to maximise their chances of detecting the tiny fluctuations in the temperature of the CMB, the sensitive detectors must be cooled down to almost absolute zero, a temperature of -273 Kelvin. Starting on August the 13th, the satellite began a first light survey to verify the stability and calibration of the instruments. The survey lasted 2 weeks, during which Planck continuously surveyed the sky, scanning a strip 15 degrees wide. Following the completion of this test observation, routine operations began on August the 27th. Full-time operations will continue for the next 15 months, with the first all-sky map expected to be assembled after approximately 6 months.